The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
It's a big Friday, Woods. Got the debut of the San Diego Clippers tonight at Front Wave Arena. And not just that. I know not everybody is interested in G League basketball, although I am certainly excited to have the new team in town. I think the fact that North County finally has a venue for something that it could be G League basketball, it could be the soccers, it can be concerts, that you don't have to on a Friday. And as someone who has lived in the North County my entire life, driving down to anything on a Friday, Pechanga Arena, Viejas Arena, Snapdragon Stadium, Chula Vista for a concert, whatever.
Yeah.
Always such a nightmare that it almost makes you not want to go to things that you would want to go to. Like, I would love to go to that, but it's on a Friday, it's after work, and I got to drive all the way down. I don't know that I want to do that.
Tonight's going to be insane.
It's different. It's different, you know, when you're thinking, oh, I only have to go, you know, 15 minutes up to Oceanside. Yeah, I don't even have to get on the freeway to get to this place.
Yeah, it's true.
And I know that's, you know, for someone down in Chula Vista, it's the opposite problem, but this is huge for North County people like myself.
Yeah, the home opener is tonight. At 7 p.m. at Front Wave Arena. It is Bill Walton night as well. They're going to honor the late, great Bill Walton. You get in early. It's the first 3,000 fans are going to get a special Bill Walton San Diego Clippers shirt presented by Front Wave Credit Union with a nod to his favorite band, the Grateful Dead, Benny. So from 4 to 6, there's going to be a fan fest. You can get out there early and have a ball, man. Watch a band, get some food, get your face painted. I know you're way into face painting and things like that. So
Whee!
Head on. Yeah. Head on out tonight.
Tim says North County elites are happy. Tim.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're right. You're right, we are.
Why shouldn't we be happy? Why are you mad at that? It really does. It really is the worst on a Friday.
Oh.
I'll drive down. I drive down every single day for work.
Every
But Friday at like 5 p.m., even I am like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know that I can do this at Friday at 5 p.m.
So I do PA for the Seals, and we're at Pechanga Arena, and the game starts at 7, and I leave my house in Encinitas at like 3:30. And I walk around Pechanga for 3 hours waiting for the game to start, because I would rather do that than sit in traffic, because it is not great. It's not great.
Last night, Thursday night football was kind of oddly similar to Monday night football this week, except the coach made the decision that everybody wanted the coach on Monday to make. On Monday, it was the Tampa Bay Bucks, and Todd Bowles scored the touchdown with 27 seconds left, decided to kick the extra point, and the Chiefs ended up winning the coin flip and going down and scoring in overtime. This time, it was the Cincinnati Bengals, who were down a touchdown, scored with 39 seconds left, and decided to go for two. Tried to take the lead right there over the Baltimore Ravens. And this time, well, it didn't work because they did not convert on the two-point conversion. And you can make the argument, of course, there were penalties, pretty obvious ones that weren't called. But you can also make the argument that when you are on the road on a one-play situation like that, you can't expect to get calls on that sort of play. I'm going to go back to what I said on Monday. If they had kicked the 1 point, even if they had made the 2-point conversion, Baltimore had two timeouts left. Lamar Jackson had been unstoppable
in the second half, in the fourth quarter.
You think they're not going down and getting enough yards and Justin Tucker is kicking a field goal to win the game? Probably. If you kick one and tie it, I think Baltimore has to be very careful, and at least you're getting yourself a chance. Yeah, you may lose the coin flip just like the Tampa Bay Bucks did, but I bet they would much rather be in that situation now than what actually happened to them losing that game last night on the two-point conversion.
Well, and you know what's funny? I saw all the hubbub about the calls and the missed calls and the no calls. I'm to the point now with the NFL, and it's probably really easy for me to say because I don't have a rooting interest. I have a betting interest, though. I mean, I do have a betting interest in a lot of NFL games. It's weird. I've resigned myself to the fact that there are going to be really bad no calls and there are going to be really bad calls. And I've just kind of accepted it. It's this weird, like, you know, I would imagine when you're drowning at some point, you're like, I'm just going to accept this. This is it.
It's dark.
It's very dark, Paulie. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you just like, I accept it. I can't, the discourse over missed calls makes my throat tighten up. All you see the next day after an NFL game is, look at this, hands to the face.
I get it when it's a holding penalty that was missed. You're like, that was on the other side of the field. Like, yeah, it might have been holding it. I don't know that it really impacted the catch or anything like that. Face mask to the quarterback when he's trying to make a throw into the end zone.
I get it, man.
Those ones were pretty bad.
They probably missed four or five of the hands to the face a game, you know? And so I've just, like I said,
I guess it's anytime it happens to the quarterback because there is so much protection for the quarterback. Well, you're like, bro, he's pulling him down by the helmet.
You know what it does is it brings out the scripted people and the rigged people. And I can't abide it. There is no script to the NFL. They're not rigging these games. The refs aren't in on it. They're just bad refs sometimes.
And they are subjected to human nature like everybody else.
100%.
And when you are in someone else's stadium, in a home stadium, and there's 70,000 screaming fans, and it's one play to decide the game, subconsciously, you're going to be more hesitant to throw a flag against that team in a big play like that. It's not something to really even be that mad about. If you were a ref, you'd feel it. Everybody would feel it in a situation like that.
And the other thing is, if you're the Bengals, and I know Cincinnati Sports Radio right now is, I mean, if you're on the morning show in Cincinnati, you text your buddies on the show. Like, I would text Ben and Paul, and I go, we're good. We got that hands to the face we can talk about for 2.5 hours. We'll take calls on it. We're set. Like, what an easy Friday for us. We'll just throw our feet up, let people call in and rage about it. But like I said, I don't have a rooting interest really in the NFL. So I'm just watching these games going, bro, you had this team on the ropes. If you're the Bengals, I'm mad.
The play that you're going to run and not worry about everything else. They let the clock go down to one. They call the timeout. They run it back. The next time, Ja'Marr Chase is still one-on-one, but there's some players a little bit closer to where he is. They choose not to go to Ja'Marr Chase, inexplicably to me. If you're going to go for two, put the ball in the best player's hands, which is obviously him.
I love the
check. They throw to a tight end. There could be pass interference. There could be a hand to the face on Burrow. No penalty is called, and they fail in that two-point conversion. Now, I think you have to be consistent. If you're the person out there that said
they got the sports radio script emailed to them that we got, hey, 7 o'clock, about hands to the face and the two-point conversion.
Well, and again, man, like I said, no rooting interest. The calls are what they are throughout the course of the game. The Bengals had a chance to bury the Ravens. If you're the Bengals, you're like, how did I turned it off at half? And the only reason I turned it back on is because you guys, because I was in a rabbit hole I'll tell you about in 53 minutes, which is mortifying. I'm mortified. And I'm going to lose a lot of street cred today. I'm going to tell you right now. Ben's like nail biting time. I'm like, what are you talking about? The Bengals are beating the crap out of the Ravens. I put the game back on. I go, oh, okay. I still have a chance to win this bet. And those are the things I look to. You know, it's getting to that point to let a referee decide your game for you is on you. You had them on the ropes. You had them dead in the water, and you couldn't close. So it brings out the rigged conspiracy theorists, which make me insane. I don't think it's rigged for the Ravens. I don't. I really don't. I'll die on that hill. It's not rigged for the Ravens.
Need a contestant here for Take on Woods. We got a brand new Vegas getaway prize for you. But if you want to call in now and play in a couple of minutes, our musical trivia contest, 833-288-0973. Phone lines are wide open, so you can get in. If you're a first-time player, haven't played in a while, give us a call, 833-288-0973.
I've even softened on umpires. I'm to the point now where it's like, stop letting these guys dictate your game for you.
Bengals season's kind of slipping away. They're not a bad team.
No, I mean, they have the ability
But they've lost every, like, coin flip game this year. Yep. They're now 4-6, and obviously they've been swept by the Ravens, so the division's pretty much out of reach. You know what is also out of reach? About a quarter of fantasy football matchups this week are already over.
Yeah, you're done.
Anyone who had Jamar Chase last night, 11 catches, 264 yards, and 3 touchdowns, congratulations. You've won, and if you are unfortunate enough to be going up against Jamar Chase or Joe Burrow at 428 yards and 4 touchdowns, or God forbid, you're going up against both of them. Thanks a lot. Your week is over before it's even started. You have no hope of coming back.
In our fantasy league that we're in, the team that had Jamar Chase was going up against, I think, Sammy Lev, who had Joe Burrow. So he had countered
it, split it up a little bit.
Yeah. And then my buddy sent me a screenshot. Somebody in his league had both. Burrow.
That's
and
nearly 100 points
you're good.
From two guys on Thursday before you've even really started your matchup.
Chase, since I played a guy with Lamar and Chase, I'm already done. Yeah, you're toast. You're toast.
Yeah, Lamar wasn't bad at all. He had 290 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's
and
a pretty good day.
33 rushing yards as well. He was also good.
I love him, dude. I really do. I love Lamar Jackson. You see his pregame?
It's in the Paul Skeens category for
I
you.
I love Lamar Jackson. Love Lamar Jackson. I love Joe Burrow, too. I like that game. Those are good teams, man.
You got to have Things Woods loves on Friday soon.
It's just Paul Skeens, Lamar Jackson. I love Jamar Chase. Like them all.
All right. I see a lot of people calling
Let's
in.
Let's go.
Let's get to it. Friday edition of Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Let's go, Craig. Is this Craig? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning.
You are our contestant today. Good luck. What are you up to on this Friday?
Driving to school.
All right. Let's try to get you qualified for our brand new getaway to Las Vegas. So you have a chance. If you beat or tie Woods, you'll qualify for a two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas and 2 tickets to Soul of Motown and a $150 food and beverage credit. Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun, and the award-winning Soul of Motown is a high-energy concert-style musical tribute celebrating Motown legends. Must-see show during your Vegas vacation getaway. Tickets are available at WestgateResorts.com. All right, Craig, we will give you the advantage of picking the category. Here are your choices. Lover, Not a Fighter. 5 song titles and artists that include the word lover. Locking Down the Save. Those are song titles that begin with the word save. And our new category, Get Into the Rhythm. 5 song titles and artists that include the word rhythm. So Lover, Not a Fighter, Locking Down the Save, or Get Into the Rhythm. Craig, what would you like to play?
All right, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Lover, not a fighter. All right, today on Take on Woods, you got a mix of song titles and artists that all include the word lover. You'll get 60 seconds to try to answer as many of the 5 as you can. Don't know an answer, you can say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question is that 2-second song. Pauly's queuing it up now. You'll need to identify the song title and the artist, one of which contains lover, to score that point. All right, Craig, are you ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
Paulie, you're good?
I'm good.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Category lover, not a fighter. Craig, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Working for the weekend, Loverboy.
Correct. Earth, Wind, and Fire's Philip Bailey teamed up with Phil Collins of Genesis for which number one hit in 1984?
Easy Lover.
Correct. Stevie Wonder sings, "We are undercover passion on the run, chasing love up against the sun," in which 1985 number one hit that featured backup vocals by Luther Vandross and Philip Bailey.
Part-time Lover.
Correct. Prince's first major hit single was which 1980 tune sung entirely in falsetto?
I Want to Be Your Lover.
Correct. Which 1984 song was the biggest hit for American soul and R&B singer Tina Marie? Got some time. Which 1984 song was the biggest hit for American soul and R&B singer Tina Marie?
Something Lover. I'm not sure.
All right. Four is a good score, though. I think you got a chance here. It's Lover Girl is Tina Marie. You got the rest of them. Working for the Weekend, Lover Boy, Easy Lover, Part-Time Lover, I Want to Be Your Lover. Stay on the line, Craig. I think you got a chance for an outright win here. That was a well-played game. All right, Woods returns from his isolation. Doesn't get the category. Definitely makes it tougher. 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Craig.
That's Lover Boy. You want to be in the show? Come on. Come back to it.
Earth, Wind, and Fire's Philip Bailey teamed up with Phil Collins of Genesis, for which number one hit in
1980. Easy Lover.
Correct. Stevie Wonder sings, "We are undercover passion on the run, chasing love up against the sun," in which 1985 number one hit featured backup vocals by Luther Vandross and Philip Bailey.
Pass.
Prince's first major hit single was which 1980 tune sung entirely in falsetto?
1980. Oh, God. Pass.
Which 1984 song was the biggest hit for American soul and R&B singer Tina Marie?
Ooh. This is a
yikes.
Soiling.
Want to go back to the two-second song,
it's
get the title?
Boy.
It is.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Guess what? Smoked. That was one of the biggest wipeouts ever. 4-1, Craig. You have defeated Woods and qualified for the trip to Las Vegas. Congratulations. Stay
What's
on the line.
What's the category?
So the category is Lover,
right,
not a fighter. So you got Lover Boy.
And it's a song.
Everybody's
working for the weekend.
Working for the weekend. You got Easy Lover.
Okay.
Stevie Wonder now is part-time lover.
Love that.
Prince
song.
Is I Want to Be Your Lover. And
when
Tina
you said
Marie
falsetto,
is,
all I thought was Kiss, but I knew that was way later, so I couldn't think of it.
1984. Tina Marie is Lover Girl. So that is.
I just want to be.
That was the one that Craig didn't get. You knew it, but without the category, just never came to you. And congratulations, Craig. Well played game.
Funny thing is, I love almost every one of those songs.
Yeah, they're all. I think they're all good songs.
I think the category would have maybe helped me get three, not four.
It was it wasn't an easy category. Craig was sharp. I mean, got the first four, had plenty of time to try to think of Lover Girl. Didn't come to him, but definitely one of our better played games.
Champ is going down. The champ went down today, Don.
All right, stay on the line, Craig. Paulie will get your information during our break.
Was it extra sweet because it was against
Woods?
Yeah.
Don't Do This is coming up next. I know I had a bad do this earlier this week, and now I feel even worse about it.
As you should.
But we had a good do this yesterday. Actually, we should have brought it up yesterday, but Padres did something really cool that I want to point out, and we'll get to that coming up after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Yeah.
What does it feel like to kill a dog?
I did not do it. He was already sick, Woods, on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't. Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, you might remember earlier this week on this this segment.
How could we forget?
I chose a do this as all the love and support that was pouring in for Kirk Herbstreit and his poor, sick puppy, Ben. 10-year-old dog, but the one that travels with him throughout the country for all of his college football and NFL assignments and sits in the booth. Very good dog, but was battling some health issues, cancer. And I thought it was really cool how many people around the country were offering Kirk his best wishes and praying for Ben. Unfortunately, it did not end with a Hollywood ending for Ben. Kirk tweeted yesterday, this is really hard to write, but so many of you have loved and cared about Ben that I wanted to let you know. We found out today the cancer had spread throughout Ben's organs and there was nothing left we could do. We had to let him go. I've had dogs my whole life, but Ben was one of one. He was smart, loving, gentle, patient, inquisitive, and welcoming to all. Always a big smile and a soft tail wag. He and I could communicate. He, more than anyone at home and traveling with me for work. Such an easygoing companion. Hard day, but he will live within all of us forever. God bless, please, his majestic soul, and thank you for putting him in my life for the last 10 years. A true blessing. Love you, Ben, from Kirk Herbstreit, who was working last night with Al Michaels on Thursday Night Football.
Send that to me, and I'm going to read all of that verbatim when you pass away.
Thank you.
Funeral. Read it again.
I'm going to send it to you right now.
Send it to me right now. Was that on Twitter?
That was a Twitter post from Kirk Herbstreit. I just sent it to you. So there it is. You can save it for my eulogy later in life.
It actually is. It's actually perfect for your eulogy. If I outlive you, which is probably not going to happen, it is a perfect one. Because it even has your name. I don't have to change anything.
That's a good point.
Read it again.
It's really hard to write. Many of you have loved and cared about Ben.
Yeah.
But I want to let you know. We found out today the cancer had spread throughout Ben's organs.
Yep.
And there was nothing left we could do. We had to let him go.
We did have to let you go.
Why don't you just let me go?
I let you go.
We're going to put you down.
I've had dogs.
I've had co-hosts.
My whole life. But Ben was one of one.
Yep.
He was smart, loving, gentle, patient,
yes,
inquisitive.
All of those
and
things.
And welcoming to all.
You are, well,
always a big.
I'll scratch that line. I'll scratch that line.
Welcoming.
You're not welcoming to all.
Always a big smile.
Yeah.
And a soft tail wag.
Always a soft tail wag.
He and I could communicate. He and I understood each other and had each other's backs.
True.
He was with me more than anyone at home, traveling with me for work. Such an easygoing companion.
Yeah, easygoing.
Hard day, but he will live within all of us forever. God bless his majestic soul.
Yeah.
Thank you for putting him in my life for the last 10 years. A true blessing.
So you got three years left. Coming up next is more Padres talk with Woodsy and Paul. We'll be right back.
I know you blame me for Ben's demise.
I do.
Because I brought it up.
Yeah, you
But at least I didn't kill Gary Coleman.
All right. Now listen.
Shout out to his family.
Listen.
Thank you, Paul.
May 28th, 2010, I believe it was a Friday, I was on a show. I'd only been on the air here in San Diego since February, so I was pretty new. And I don't know what got into me, but I started, I think, mocking or making fun of Gary Coleman for something on our old radio program. And this is Friday, and I'm
probably for being short, which is totally beyond his control. I know
it.
You.
I don't know what know it was, you. But I was doing something, and I was making fun, doing
bits. But you're talking about Willis.
Yeah, I was doing bits and stuff. I was going to L.A. to see a dear friend of mine that day. I got in the car. By the time I had gotten to L.A., Gary Coleman had passed away. And everyone was texting me, calling me like, oh, nice work, dude.
Way to go.
Old school listeners will remember that day. And it was not a good feeling. And it happened a couple of other times. I can't remember who, but I would mention somebody that they would pass away. So it was it's like the angel of death a little bit. And now I've passed that moniker on to you.
Fine. But at least, I mean, we kind of had an idea that this could be coming.
We did. I had no idea.
Gary Coleman was out of the blue that you killed him.
Completely
out of the blue.
Yep. Interesting interesting times, certainly. The Grim Reapers are here. This one's on us. This one's on us. I can't believe we missed this. But ESPN brought out the thesaurus on Thursday night during its broadcast of a college football game between Florida Atlantic and East Carolina. And while examining the stats of East Carolina quarterback Caton Hauser, the broadcast titled a graphic, how do you say this word?
Strigiformophobia.
Strigiformophobia. And strigiformophobia, for those that don't know, is the fear of owls.
It's because they play two straight owls. They play the Temple Owls and then the Florida Atlantic Owls. That's a very unusual combination to play owls in two straight games.
And how did Jesse Agler never have to weave in strigiformophobia?
I mean, that would have been a perfect incorporator word.
I guess it still could be.
Yeah. Strigiformophobia.
Strigiformophobia. Thank you.
Strigiformophobia.
The fear of owls.
Yeah.
Owls are kind of scary.
They are. One flew by us recently, and it was flew by our car, and it was like, ooh. I mean, it's
they're good to have around though, because they take care of rodents. You know, rats and mice and stuff, but again, they are kind of creepy, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Strigiformophobia. All right, finally, doo-doo this. I will try not to kill anyone's pets today.
Mega doo-doo.
I would like to praise the Padres did something very cool yesterday to celebrate what would have been Peter Seidler's 64th birthday. They did something that Peter Seidler would have been doing himself if he was here. They assembled 1,000 care packages for unhoused San Diegans and distributed them yesterday to organizations including the Alpha Project, the San Diego Rescue Mission, Veterans Village San Diego, Urban Street Angels, the Youth Assistant Coalition, Father Joe's Villages, and the SPD-PD Homeless Outreach Team. Had cold weather clothing, toiletries, snacks, and more for people who don't have a home right now, especially as we're getting closer to the holiday season. And it's nice to know that even though Peter is gone, that his spirit remains strong and the Padres are carrying on that legacy through their organization and the Padres Foundation.
Yeah, and the Peter Seidler Foundation, which made me very happy as a contributor to that foundation. Love to see that from the guys yesterday. There's so much more work to do. So much more work to do. But great start.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. If you would like to join us, we talked to some Padres baseball earlier. 833-288-0973. I want to just get into potential trades. The ones you're not kind of thinking of. You know, again, not Xander Bogaerts. Not going to be traded this offseason.
It's not happening.
I'm talking about real players on the roster that A.J. Preller might surprise us and include in a deal this offseason. And I want to get your thoughts out there as well in our YouTube chat, on our social media channels, and on the phones, 833-288-0973.
This is that time of year where you always try to trade somebody that everybody loves, and then you get blamed for it all year.
And
Joe Musgrove, Jake Cronenworth.
And I've got another name for you coming up.
It better not be who I think it is.
Craig talked about it yesterday, so I will follow
blame
up.
Him?
You can blame him.
All right, cool.
But I will bring it up when we return on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. The more I think about it, the more a trade of this one Padre in particular is making more sense to me for this offseason. He's a popular player, and you certainly wouldn't give him away for nothing. But I am starting to come around to the argument that if you can get a pretty decent haul back, there's a lot of reasons you might make this move. Know who I'm talking about? We will discuss potential surprise trade.
I have a feeling
chips
I'm going to hate you in about a minute.
For the Padres.
I think I know who it is.
Coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
So I just proposed, as Kelly Danick was doing her traffic, that we play 20 questions.
A rousing game of America's favorite competition. 20 questions.
I have some deja vu going on right now. I think we've
the back
done
of the car
before.
Just on a long road trip. Pauly, before there were things like, you know, iPads and phones.
Yeah.
When you went on a long road trip, you did things like 20 questions in the back of the car.
Like a license plate game.
No, Dad, yeah, I do not want to play the license. My kids, you know what my kids love? I spy with my little eye something green. The grass. Yep, you got it. I spy with my little eye something black. That car in front of us. Uh-huh. It's mind-numbing.
Go back to your iPad.
Go back to your iPad. Yes.
Let me listen to whatever I want on the radio in peace.
Yes.
You stick on your iPad. We'll be fine.
Get those Cheez-Its in you in the back seat. Make sure you crumble them up. Sprinkle them all over the back of Dad's freshly cleaned car. No, I said, let's play 20 questions. Ben said, well, there's only 27 guys on the roster.
26
yeah. guys on the roster. You can't just list off names. I said, I know how 20 questions works. God. The constant.
All right.
Constant Ben
explaining.
Go for it. All right.
See how fast you get there.
There's somebody you want to trade.
Yeah.
Is he a pitcher?
Yes.
Is he a closer?
Yes.
All right. Is it Robert Suarez?
Well done.
Fastest game Thank of 20 you. Questions ever.
I mean, come on. I hope you're playing along in your car.
When you think about it, Robert Suarez is scheduled to make $10 million next year on the four-year deal that he originally signed before last season. He had an all-star type season. He is at a commodity that many teams are in need of a closer, and $10 million is not a sum that's going to scare other teams away. In
You're
fact,
right.
it's a sum that they'd go, yeah, happy to pay that and, you know, send you back some stuff that you need in return. Padres, meanwhile, if they traded Robert Suarez, would clear some salary, if they are trying to be responsible, to address other needs that they have. And by the way, a couple of different factors about this. We all saw the ground that Robert Suarez gave up in the second half of the season. It wasn't anything you haven't seen from other closers in the past. And if he is back next year, I expect him to have a good season. But there were some concerning signs a little toward the end of the year with Suarez.
I think some people got more worried about Robert Suarez than I did. He hit a rough patch, Benny, and it was a location issue. And how look at what he did in the playoffs.
It was just the timing of
the
that
timing
rough
of
patch.
It. Yeah, the timing
coming
of it
coming down the stretch
was
in
not
September,
great.
You don't want that guy to be shaky.
But look what he did in the postseason. Did he give up a run in the postseason?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he was.
I think he was fantastic. I mean, and you know it.
Couple of deep fly balls, I think, but they stayed in the park.
Couple of heart racers, sure.
Yeah, stayed in the park.
Yeah.
You have other options. Jason Adam has closed. I think Jeremiah Estrada would be able to step into that role as well. You have a fairly deep bullpen. You have some arms in the minor leagues that you're excited about that you want to give an opportunity to. And finally, and I didn't realize this, I hadn't remembered it, but Craig pointed it out yesterday. Robert Suarez has an opt-out at the end of this next season as well. And there's a good chance if he has an even decent 2025 year, you're going to either lose him or have to pay him through the nose in 2026. And I don't see the Padres necessarily doing that. So if there is ever a chance to get something for Robert Suarez, reallocate his money towards somewhere else on the roster, and make that move, this would be the offseason to do it. And the more I think about it, the more it all seems to make sense to me that the Padres would, in fact, shop around and at least listen very carefully to any offer that was presented that involved Robert Suarez this offseason.
Adam, our boss, says if the Padres, who are a contender, don't want Suarez, why would another contender want him? And I think it's not that they don't want
him. Well, I mean, last offseason, the Padres, a contender, didn't want Juan Soto, but apparently the Yankees did want him. I don't think that's an argument. We're not saying that Suarez is a bad player
right.
who deserves to be
exiled
canned and you're getting him off the roster. He has value. That's what makes him an intriguing trade possibility.
It's money and value and prospects.
But not so much money that you'd have to give him away for nothing.
Correct.
It's a reasonable salary for an all-star closer. And it's one that I think a team that's desperate for bullpen help, which a lot of teams are, would be willing not only to pay the salary, but pay in prospects, pay in maybe a guy who could be in the back end of your rotation. There's a lot of things you could get for Robert Suarez that might have more value to the San Diego Padres than another bullpen arm at the end of the season here. And I will also say, Craig and Annie made a great point that, all right, you give up Robert Suarez. Let's say you do have a couple of issues at the back end of your bullpen in July. There's always a closer available. A team that's not doing well but has a great closer that is on an expiring contract, one of the easiest things to pick up at the trade deadline in baseball.
No doubt. And
you can always just have that plan for the last 2 months of the year to pick up another arm at the back end of your bullpen. You're probably going to do it anyway. So I don't know. I think there were a lot of good reasons that you would definitely explore a Robert Suarez trade.
But again, just a reminder to the general populace out there that when you're going to trade somebody, it isn't just piecing together like the four worst players on your team and trading them to somebody for a really good player. All right. So just if you can keep that, I don't want to preach to you. I don't want to get on my soapbox.
Jeremy says Ben's always trying to trade away our best players. Yeah, that's because they're the ones that have trade value.
Yeah.
And I want to get stuff back. I don't want to get nothing back. I want to get stuff back that's going to help the Padres. So I know I have to dangle something of value to do that.
You're not going to get that starter that you mentioned or that extra bat by dangling a Brett Sullivan out there. I love Sully or Booty, as he's affectionately referred to. I love Booty. But he's not going to command a fourth starter and a prospect. He's just not. You got to give something to get something. So, again.
And Robert Suarez is something. He's not nothing. He is something. He throws 100. He has done it before. He has been an all-star level closer. That is something that other teams will want value.
He's a commodity, to be sure. And listen, on a team with not a whole hell of a lot of movable commodities, you know, I think that's definitely an interesting one. Jay says, can we trade Ben Higgins, sports radio host, for Ben Higgins, Bachelor contestant? No.
That would be a bad trade.
Ben is not going to get that kind of value back. You're going to have to throw something else in.
I agree.
What else do we have to package with you to get him?
Adam.
Done. That's sold. I'm on the phone right now.
Adam and Ben Higgins for Ben Higgins.
Pack your bags. Still do Ben and Woods.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a trade in Major League Baseball where two guys with the same name traded for each other?
The same exact name?
Yeah, like Bobby Jones Smith traded for Bobby Jones.
Oh, that's a good question.
You know, there have been pitchers and players that have shared similar names, but have they ever been traded for each other?
That's interesting.
Who are the players who traded families?
Who was that? It was Kikich, like Fritz.
You did a rabbit hole on this. Yeah, a few years ago.
It didn't work out very well.
No, it didn't.
It was very.
The story was they were like teammates, and
they said you take my life and I'll take yours.
We're just swap.
Yeah,
families entirely.
70s and 80s, man.
Wives, kids, lives,
different.
Just swap them. We'll both be happier this way. They just thought it's a win-win trade, but it didn't work out.
Carlos says we might have to throw Kelly Danick in that trade. Kelly Danick's not going anywhere. Kelly Danick's staying right here.
Statue contract.
She's a franchise player.
She is a franchise player. We'll go Ben Higgins, Adam Klug. Yeah, and we'll call it.
A couple of 97.3 t-shirts.
And some Ben Wood stickers. Yeah, if you're gonna
let me just say this. You can't afford Ben Higgins. And when I say you can't afford Ben Higgins, I don't mean me.
Yeah, the other one. Makes a lot of money. Like 30 grand a month to do a podcast.
He's a Rockies fan, so he's at least familiar with the NL West.
Okay.
I think it could be a good fit. We don't have to change any of our branding. It's still Ben Higgins.
You're going to have to waive your no trade clause. Will you do that?
Probably pull
an Eric Hosmer at the last moment. I think when you're, you know, when you want to have an active offseason, and maybe you need to tighten the purse strings, as it's been reported. You know, what was the number that AC said, 200 to 210? And again, that they could go over that. That could just be the jumping off point. Doesn't leave him a lot of room to play with.
We said AJ is planning to come back to San Diego next week and sit down with Eric Kitsenda and Eric Grubner and really kind of map out what will payroll look like, what is our budget.
Well, I think the people that make those decisions will give him a number, and then I think AJ has the reign to be able to come back in and say, what if I could do this and get this for this? Can we go over? Yes or no, whatever it may be.
Yeah, so. Right now, SpotTrack already has the Padres projected at 205 before they do anything.
A robust $5 million to play with, then yeah, you got to trade some guys. Sucks, but it is what it is. What can we get for $5 million? The old bargain bin to build a contender. AJ, good luck, my friend.
Is there any other names that you think could be potentially on the trade block this offseason?
Look, this team has players that other teams would trade for. They have Fernando Tatis Jr. and a pretty decent contract. They would trade you whatever to get a player of his caliber.
I do not anticipate Fernando Tatis Jr. to be traded.
I do not want that to happen. That would be one of the dumber franchise crippling moves, in my opinion, that you could do.
We've talked about Dylan Cease and Michael Caine.
Yep. Talked about them ad
nauseam.
Going
in, if you're not going to re-sign them to long-term contract extensions, then you absolutely listen on both of those guys. Although I think we all have generally come around to the consensus that you are trying to win in 2025. You need pitching. You probably have to keep those guys, if possible, in order to have your best chance of winning in 2025.
Fangraphs has the estimated payroll at 211, roughly. I'll call it 212. So that leaves you, what did they say, 200 to 210? So that means they're over already. But again, it's not going to be, I don't think it can't be 200 to 210. So AJ will have to get creative. And this is the question of the offseason, really, right here in the chat from Jay. How can they slash payroll again with all of this fan support?
No, they actually would be massively increasing payroll. Payroll last year was only about 150 to 160.
Yeah.
So it's going up $50 million, but it's going up to already pay for the players you have.
That you have.
That's the, that. See, that's the thing.
That's,
as a fan.
Would that be spin from the team?
It's true. I mean, the payroll is
misleading.
Going up next year by quite a bit.
But it's not anybody.
It's not going to add anybody. It's going to pay for things that you've already bought, essentially, that are getting more expensive.
That is a Ben Higgins argument. Me and Ben would go round and round about that. He would say, payroll went up $50 million. And say, who did we add? No one. We added no one.
Oh, you mean these are all previously agreed upon contracts?
Correct.
Yes. You still have to pay for the players that you have previously
signed. I don't count that as raising payroll. Is the payroll raising? Yes, it is. Who are we adding? Nobody. We're actually losing players. So, yeah, pass. I can't do that. I cannot do that. That's gaslighting at its finest, as Michael says. Now, again, Michael, don't get mad yet. Don't get mad yet. We haven't seen anything yet. Let's see how it shakes out. I know that's not the right way to do it. I know that's sports radio. We can't do it that way. But we have to see what it looks like and how it shakes out. Benflation, Chris says.
it is a truth that fans don't really care what the payroll is. They say, well, we need the payroll to increase. I promise you, slashed payroll by 50% but added 7-star players, you'd be fine with that. You don't care what the payroll is. You want more big-time players and all-stars and
they're
big names
you
on your
win.
Team.
100%.
Now, usually it does require spending more to bring those players in. This is the opposite, though. This is you are spending more and not bringing anyone else in.
Mario wants to know, are we done paying freaking Hosmer? We are not.
No,
we're not. One more season to paying him
on
the podcast.
When we come back for our first show of January, I will celebrate the final year that the Padres will be paying Eric Hosmer. Hey, we have finally gotten to the end of the contract, the last year of it in 2025.
Is that $39 million since he's played?
Yeah, 13 per year for the last 2 years and then one more year after this. Total of $39 million.
For a team that's trying to improve on the margins and do so relatively cheaply, how nice would $13 million be?
Well, and again, if you
pay for Robert Suarez, you wouldn't have to trade him.
I'm telling you, if I'm paying somebody $13 million, they're going to be at spring training hitting fungos, shagging, mowing the lawn, something, doing something. 13 milli to sit and do a podcast and just rip everybody. It's just amazing. So, yeah, 39 mil. Look, every team has this dead money. It sucks when it's your team, but every team's got it.
By the way, he is not employed by the Padres, even though they pay him. Once they released him, he's not under any obligation to show up,
hit fungos,
do anything. He is not employed. The contract just has to be paid out at the end, but he is no longer an employee of the team. Just to be clear,
Satan says he should be throwing fans beers in the stands. 100%.
He could do that if he wanted.
Yeah,
but he doesn't have to.
Yeah,
it's not how it works. Mm. All right, I do think
that's a depressing.
I do think that like last year, if someone calls asking about another member of the bullpen, like Steven Wilson was, you're gonna if you get something back you like, you certainly would talk about some of those guys, but. Otherwise, I think Robert Suarez is the main possibility. All right, we'll come back with Woods' story next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.